As you notice, age has caught up. I'm very unsteady now. The topic for this morning is feed the flock of God. It's something that is, you may say, like flowing in my bloodstream, to feed the flock of God. It is taken from that famous epistle of Peter to the churches around the area. How did Peter come to write this? You know Peter, don't you? The fisherman who gave up fishing when he met the master. When was the time you first met Jesus and he called you and you began to follow? This is the story of Peter, a simple fisherman. How can you imagine of starting a kingdom with a group of fishermen? Amazing. However, when God's Spirit comes upon you, you may be a fisherman or you may be a nobody, but when God's Spirit comes on you, you can be useful for Him. Please turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. This Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, before Acts in the New Testament, we should know this right like that. Chapter 21, John, so that we have the background to the writing of this epistle, so wonderful that Peter wrote it for us today in the 21st century. John 21, verse 3. This is a scene after the resurrection. You remember Peter on the night of the betrayal said to Jesus, "Lord, you can count on me. I will follow you. I will never deny you. In fact, I will go to prison if necessary. I'll die with you." Great words, but little faith. What happened, we all understand already. Peter denied the Lord three times. Terrible man, wasn't he? Yes, and yet, how many of us here are better than Peter that will never say no to Jesus? Never deny the Lord Jesus? Do your friends and your colleagues, now we pronounce it correctly, colleagues, know what you are, that you are a Christian? Or are you in the secret service? Dare not let anyone know you are a Christian. Peter now realized the great value and responsibility and honor to be a Christian. Verse 3. Simon Peter then said to them, "I go a fishing." They said to him, "We also go with you." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. What was this event all about? Those of us who have been to the Holy Land, and by the way, there is one of our groups going to leave next month. This is the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. It is not very big, 7 miles by 5 miles, but big enough for them to have a lot of fish. Peter and his friends, disciples, how many of them? 7. How many were there originally? 12. What happened? One has committed suicide, Judas, and there are left 11. Of the 11, 7 have come back to the original site where Jesus called them. Not to be fishers of fish, but fishers of men. But since the Savior is now no more with us, not leading us anymore, let us go back to our old haunt on the Sea of Galilee. So Simon Peter, as usual, leads the group. You understand, Simon? Some of us have that character. Wherever you are, you like to take the lead. And this is the spirit of Simon Peter. So they went fishing. What better thing to do? They knew nothing better. Only fishing. That night they caught nothing. Do you know why? Jesus was going to show them, no, it's not catching fish. I did not call you to be fishers of men, of fishers of fish, but fishers of men. Verse 4, please follow. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples did not know it was Jesus. You know, Jesus, the Lord, had, as it were, put a veil over their eyes, that they did not recognize him until he spoke to them and began to fellowship with them. Then they realized, wow, this is the Lord resurrected. Verse 5, Jesus said to them, children, have ye any meat? They said to him, no. Why, the whole night? And these are professional fishermen. They know how to catch fish, but God had a plan. That night, the Lord sent the fish all away so that they will have a fruitless, empty catch, nothing until morning. You know, until the Lord comes in your life can be empty. He is one who is able to multiply blessings to you. Only seek him. To know that emptiness also comes from the Lord for a purpose in this case. Verse 6, and he said to them, now do something I tell you to do. Put your nets on the right side of the ship, of your boat. And they did it, and wow, suddenly, all the fish came in because Jesus told the fish to swim into the net. Do you think I'm talking nonsense? My friends, this is called faith. If you understand, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus came from heaven. And the Word of God says all things were made by him, including the fishes in the sea. And he commands them to go away through for the night. But when the time came, he says, swim back into the net. And this is what happened. And they could not draw it for the multitude of fishes. Verse 9. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals, and then they had breakfast. Verse 10, Jesus says to them, bring the fish which you have now caught, and let us have a morning breakfast party. How about that? Amazing. Simon Peter, verse 11 says, went up and drew the net, and it was so full. How many fishes? It was recorded here. 153. For all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Then you ask yourself, the last time when Jesus called them, some 3.5 years ago, earlier, and when they did the same thing, and Jesus says, launch out into the deep, and they caught so much fish, their nets broke. Amazing. This time, it did not. God can do things you never thought was possible. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? These people were just about to learn. Who were these people? The seven disciples. And very soon, the rest of the disciples came together, and they began to learn a new lesson, the lesson of faith. That's what we all need every day. Faith in the Savior, faith in His Word, faith in His perfect will for you and me. And verse 12, now we go on to verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. Now comes the lesson for Peter, and I trust a lesson for you and me also. Before we read, I just run through briefly with you. Here was Jesus commissioning Peter for his life work. Jesus was going to ascend to heaven shortly, and he would not be present with Peter anymore. But Peter had to receive that commission, that commandment, that instruction. Peter, you denied me 3 times, right? You are feeling very down, useless. But useless people in the hands of God can be changed into useful people. Is there anyone here who feels so useless? What can I do? Maybe there was a thought in Peter. That's why he went back fishing. I can do something that I know, fishing. But Jesus had much better ideas for Peter. Peter, from now on, you catch men like fish. 153. And the first day was going to be 3,000 men, precious souls to be saved. But Peter, it's for you. May God speak to someone who is perhaps discouraged. What can I do for the Lord? I say, you can do more than you think if you surrender yourself and your life and your all, your future to Jesus. So now the conversation is well known to all of us. 3 times. We read verse 15. So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, more than these is subject to a lot of discussion. What is these? What was Jesus meaning? I say, it doesn't matter. All the things that you think are so important and precious to you, do you put them before me or do you put me before them? This is what question we all have to face today. 70 years ago, when I was 13 years old, that same question came to me. Lovest thou me more than these? Your career, your future, all the things you think are so precious on earth, do you love me first more than these? I say the same thing to all of you here. Have you got your priorities right? Your value system? What is it that comes first in your mind every day? Unless and until you have put Jesus first, you have not fulfilled God's plan in your life. I don't say you resign from your job and now only Jesus and do nothing else. No, you can continue to be a school teacher, a lawyer, a businessman, a nurse, whatever. But put Jesus first. And this is what Jesus was asking Peter. Peter, I know you know that I know. You denied me 3 times. Of course you know that. Now you feel so low, so useless, so shameful of yourself to say, I don't know that fellow. Who is he? I don't know him. Now Jesus confronts him and asks him one question. I was asked that question when I was 10 years old. Do you love me more than these things, your career? The question was at that time, how many here in this audience are willing to put Jesus first and say, Lord, I give you my life to serve you all my life. Put up your hands. And that morning began me on a course that has never turned back. 30 years later, 1968. Remember, that day was 1938. So after 30 years, I was working in the Birthquake Hospital. By the way, this double celebration in which I had forgotten to put what was the thing to be offered free of charge, everybody one copy, is the book. The memoirs, at last, has come out. So you read in the memoirs how God challenged me. 1938 was the first challenge, but the real thing and the fulfillment of that challenge was 1968. When I worked in the hospital called the Kandang Kerbau, you see it there today, it's not that hospital. It was about a mile away in the old place. And You know, there's a book called the Guinness Book of Records. And it went into that book of records as the biggest, busiest baby factory in the world. So they gave it a name called the Birthquake Hospital. And I was in charge there of one half the hospital. As the head of the university, you have half. The government side has half. Every day you take all the patients. Next day I take all the patients. You look after everyone and you deliver 110 babies every 24 hours. When I went to Belfast to work, they said, wow, we had a hectic day today. I said, what hectic? 5 deliveries, double tahan. I said, before I came, delivered 126 on that day. You know, 110 is the average. Some days 120, 130, next day maybe 70, 80. All depends, you know. So, get the book, read it. Birthquake Hospital, catching babies. I say, Lord, is that your will for me? Of course I can catch babies and deliver them properly, but other people can do the same and do it better than me. But other people do not know Jesus. Other people cannot go and be servants of Jesus and tell them about eternal life and about heaven and hell and about Jesus dying for them. They don't know a thing. They can deliver babies, but they cannot go and preach the gospel. So I say, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You like fishing? Do you love fishing more than me? So whatever it is, I say, the Lord, speak to someone today. 3 times Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you really love me? Until Peter was struck in the heart. Knowing, of course, the Lord was reminding him indirectly, you said you didn't know me, huh? Do you remember? I say, it is good to remember sometimes that we have failed the Lord, but that the Lord is always a gracious, compassionate, forgiving master, and he wants you to turn back to him. That's all that pleases him. When you turn back to him, he is pleased. And he can use you in a way you do not know. So, on that day, Peter gave his life back to Jesus. 3 times. First time Jesus says, if you love me, feed my lambs. I say, all the lambs have gone to the Sunday school to be fed by the Sunday school teachers. But, you know, spiritual lambs, I'm sure there are still some here. New believers who still do not know the things of God, the deep things of God, you're still lambs. But you need to grow. And this is the topic today. We're going to talk about 3 times the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Simon, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now the result of this is Peter never forgot. The first day he stood up to speak, day of Pentecost. What happened? Read in Acts chapter 2 and following at home, please. And when he preached, Holy Spirit came down, and the people believed, and they all cried out, what must we do that we may be saved? Because we know we are sinful people. We had a part in the crucifixion, in killing Jesus, the Prince of Life, the Son of God. We killed him. Dear friends, let us understand. Unless and until you come to the Savior, you have a part in the killing of Jesus. Yes. We have maligned him. We have put him to shame by our lives. Come to him, therefore, and he will use you. Then he can use you to feed his sheep. Now, on to 1 Peter. You see what a transformation came over Peter. Instead of saying, I don't know him, now he says, I am the servant of the Lord Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1, so that we get an idea of the beginning of this letter. Please understand, epistle simply means letter. Peter wrote this letter, a general letter to all the churches in that region, to be distributed, to be read on the worship day, the Sunday, so that people will get the message from right directly from the pen of Peter. Verse 1, Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ. What is an apostle? Someone who has been commissioned directly by Jesus himself. They are apostles. Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, you go and be my servant. And you say, yes, sir. Because he himself commissioned and made you a servant. You are an apostle. Are there any apostles in this congregation? I said zero. Because none here can claim, I saw Jesus and he sent me to be a disciple and to witness to you, except here is Peter. Now read. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout all these areas of Asia Minor, writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I say the same to all of you. What better greeting than to say, may grace, peace, and mercy from God the Father be to all of you today. Better than my say, gong xi fa cai, and make $1 million every day. What will you do with a lot of money, dear friends? But you can do so great with the grace of God that is given to you freely. When you pray for it, God is there to give it to you. So you say, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, on to chapter 5. This is now our text proper. Chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Peter is exhorting the elders in our church. Now, there are not many elders, just 4 and 2 pastors, 6 of them. But I dare say this letter applies to all of us. So can you all change gears and say, this letter applies to me, all right? Now, listen as we read. I exhort you all at Calvary Pandan today, listening to this letter being read. Jesus Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. The message and the instruction to all of us here is feed. Verse 2 now. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Where is the flock of God? Right here, sitting here, is the flock of God. Now, today's theme is feed the flock of God. Do you get the idea, the message? All of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are to feed the flock. Firstly, feed ourselves. You cannot feed others before you feed yourself. It's only after you are well fed, properly fed with the word of God, then you begin to feed others. That's why we sang, read your Bible, pray every day, that you may grow. And you grow strong, grow with the knowledge of God. Then you begin to feed others. Continue to read, please. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. This was, by the way, our memory verse. Yes, we have read it about 10 times just now. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Now, you say, who are the ones I'm going to take oversight of? I'm going to take charge of. I say, you take charge of those dependent on you in your family. Of course, your younger ones, your children. So I say especially a word. You know, last week, I wrote in an article in the Weekly Pastoral, already gone. Did you read that article? Looking into our own families over the years, how many of our sons and daughters, once they've graduated from university, got married and found a good job, disappeared? It happens all the time. Now, does it reflect on us? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that maybe we have been negligent. Maybe we have not told them the things we should have told them. Yes, and they did not really appreciate the grace of God here. And they say after a while, hey, Calvary Pandan is quite good, but the world is better. Today, the world is so strong. The whole world is changed from the time we started our church in Prinsep Street, 59 years ago, until now. The whole of society is completely revolutionized. The way we conduct our church's affairs, also different from before. We're living in a world of great change. That's why the apostle says, we live in perilous times. How do you cope with these perilous times? So, we in session are studying the situation. Why do our young people in their 20s, when they are most useful and productive, disappear into thin air, just refuse to come to church anymore? Feed the flock of God, says. Verse 2, feed them. If you don't feed them correctly, they get fed up. Yeah, and they go because they were not fed. Now, how do you feed them? I have brought here with me some samples. When I began my ministry, I took a survey among the members. How many of you pray properly? Answer was so shocking. I wrote this, 66 pocket prayers. Perchance there are some here who say, you never taught us to pray. How do you expect us to pray? Well, the answer is here. Yes. There are 66 prayers for many, many different occasions, and you can get them from the bookshop out there, written specially for my members. It's also available in Chinese. And this is a big version. There's a small one put in the pocket. That's why you call it the pocket prayers. Family worship. We urge our members to have family worship so that, if at all possible, God may use you to feed the flock of God in your home, the lambs, the sheep, that they being fed may be reinforced and strengthened, not to be deceived by the world. It's so easy, you see, unless we teach our children. For example, you read Genesis and it says, God made everything in six days, right? But evolution says it took 4 billion years. And evolution is everywhere as fact. You go to the zoo, it says, well, 500,000 years or 5 billion years, this animal was different from today. And you say, that's right, that fellow got PhD, what have you got? And you say, 6 days, impossible. The zoo says 5 billion years. So people lose faith in the church unless they are already reinforced to understand, my Savior made me, formed me in His own image, breathe into me, make me different from the monkey. Are you convinced? Because if you are not convinced and you hear all the evolutionists say, by the way, England, which 200 years ago was in the forefront of missions, sending missionaries into China, into every part of the world, today is in the front of the anti-Christian movement. Do you know that? England. So we are up against a great problem. If we just go on happily without realizing all these perils and the developments, we are going to lose out. Feed the flock of God. How do we feed? Unless we are in much prayer all the time, everyone praying, Lord, save my family, save my children. Here is family worship. How many of you have utilized this? I don't say that you need this, that you must use this to have family worship, but those who have never tried, try this. Family worship. I think we sold it at 1/10 the cost. You get it and try it. Then for those who need to read the Word of God with the help of notes, we have junior notes, teens notes, adult notes. Read, pray, grow. Read your Bible. Pray every day is here for all of you. Then those who want to have a daily devotional reading, you have Streams in the Desert. Psalms by my late brother, Reverend Timothy Toh. And you have Daily Remembrancer. Yes, this is one of the best daily reading notes. Then you have Walking with God Day by Day by Martin Lloyd-Jones of England fame. Now all these I will leave on the table and you can have a look, but please don't take it away because they belong to the bookshop and they asked me to pay them. Feed the flock of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, not because now you feel obliged to, but be a self-starter, be a volunteer, have the volunteer spirit to say, if God can use me, here I am, use me. I am so happy to be in the service of the great King of Kings who died for me and saved me out of everlasting punishment and perdition and destruction in hell to give me a future. What can I do for him? Can I do something for my family? Is it too difficult? Don't come and tell me I've never tried family worship, therefore I cannot. Did you say that when you went to learn how to drive a car? Huh? Did they say, I cannot learn because I don't know how to drive a car. Never can learn. But we all can learn with God's help. So feed the flock of God, please, in your home. Feed yourself every day and God help us. Do it not by constraint, the last part of verse 2, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So back to my story, 30 years ago. 1938 to 1968. Then came the critical moment. Should I continue in Kandang Kerbau Hospital? Or should I remember my vow and say, Lord, here am I. I am coming to feed your sheep, feed your lambs. God help me to make the decision. By that time, there were enough. Do you know when I started out in Kandang Kerbau Hospital, there were six specialists in the whole of Singapore. Six. Number one was Professor President Shears, and then a few others, and myself. Today, do you know how many there are? 300. So after I left, I said, you all produce more specialists. The more, the better. Because the more is for the benefit of consumers. All the pregnant mothers, they'll thank you that there are 300 specialists and not six. But we are not in the baby catching business. We want to get people not for the first birth, but for the second birth. We want to give them second birth to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be born again into the kingdom of God for everlasting blessing and life with God. This is our objective, our purpose, and our greatest blessing and joy is to see men and women come to repentance and to receive the life of God, the second birth. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage. What is God's heritage? God's heritage is God's inheritance, property. Do you know you all of us, me included, all of us are the property of God. God owns us because he purchased us, because his son's blood paid for your redemption. So we all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall you do with your body? Make it a living sacrifice for him to use. And it is not for nothing, dear friends. The reward is coming on the way. Verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, and how soon will it be? Do you know? Do you care? My friends, we must live to the realism of the gospel. Be realistic. This world does not last forever. And you don't last forever. We all are put in here for a time of probation. And we are being tested. See, what do you do in your lifetime on earth? What have you done for the Lord? Feed the flock. Feed yourself. Save yourself. Come to the Lord Jesus and save others. Because there is going to be a reward. Verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amazing. Are you sure of that crown of glory? Or are you hoping for a double bonus when you retire? Oh, how big a CPF I have. Then I'm going to enjoy all my retirement, all the days of my life, and if brought not one soul to Jesus Christ. Feed the flock of God. Do your share. He has died for you. Thank him for it and go for him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help thy people to understand the challenges of the time and the preciousness of souls, those souls still dying without Christ, without hope, without a future except the perdition and destruction in hell. O Lord, our God, cause your people all to awaken to the perils of the hour and the challenges of souls waiting to be saved. Hear our prayer. Bless your people. Stir us up with the holy love that we will from today give our lives to thee. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.